Shane Foster, Derek Byers, and Dan Cage. And we'll get started with some comments from Coach Stallings.
Well, that was one of the best college basketball games I've ever been involved in. And as happy as I am for our team, my heart goes out to Tony Bennett and the Washington State players because neither team deserved to win that game, or deserved to lose that game. And we didn't fight any harder than they did. We just made a couple more plays, and that's the nature of close games like that. And we got a couple of key turnovers there in the overtime, but they played a terrific game, and it was. I told our team, be ready for the most physical basketball game you've ever been in, and that's the way it was. Both teams were physical and tough, and I'm really, really proud of our team for being able to come out on top. We made some plays down there, down the stretch. We kind of had it, and we thought we had it in regulation, and they ran a little play on us that got low, wide open for three, and he buried it, being the great player that he is. But we were able to persevere and come through in overtime. So our team has been great at winning close games all season long, and it's a tribute to their character and their toughness and their willingness to play together, and I'm really proud of them.
We'll take questions at this time for the student athletes only, and if you would please give your name and affiliation. Why don't we start here in the middle, center aisle.
Jason Owen, CSTV.com. You guys were 1 of 8 from behind the arc in the first half, and then you had 9 of 19 after that. What was the difference?
Coach, when it's going to come down to making big plays, and that's what we did. You know, we have a lot of unselfish guys on this team that that look for open guys, and we were making plays in the end.
We'll go right here.
Andrew Barnes, Vanderbilt Hustler. Shane, you played the last 15 minutes of the game with 4 fouls. What kind of adjustments did you have to make on D to stay effective?
I just had to be able to be aggressive, but just be aware that I had 4 fouls. I knew my team needed me down the stretch. And it was just a mindset thing. I had to do whatever it took to help my team win.
Go to the player's left.
Colin Harvey, Associated Press. Derek, hey, they were Kyle Gill and Baines pretty much hold it down in the middle, and suddenly, you know, you got it going with those 3-pointers and stuff. Did the coach say, hey, look, I don't know what's going on down in the middle, you guys want to start hitting from the outside?
Well, first of all, I have to give a lot of credit to Ted's coaches. You mentioned Baines and Cal Gill getting it established down low. Ted's coaches came in and played probably the best game I've ever seen him play. He was so effective down low and getting rebounds and just making winning plays. You know, he was a physical presence that we needed down low. As far as me, again, Ted was setting good screens for me and Baines or whoever that big guy was, a hedge out. And, you know, I was able to make, you know, a play either for me or my teammate.
We'll go to your right.
For each player, if you guys would comment, did you really believe in November that you guys would be sitting here talking about one of this Week 16?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the season, we set certain goals for ourselves. Making the NCAA tournament and going as far as we could was definitely one of them. And we just fought. You know, we got off to kind of a rugged start. But we continued to fight. We continued to believe in each other, believe in our coaching staff. And we got it done. Our philosophy all year was just to get better and be a little better today than we were yesterday.
Now, remember, we're from Vanderbilt. Ruggedy does not appear in the dictionary.
I'm trying.
Derek, would you respond to that, please?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure.
In November, did you guys feel like you would be sitting here at this point today?
Well, you know, coming off 2 postseason NIT appearances, first you want to make it to the NCAA first before you can get to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 or anything like that. So, I mean, our initial goal is just, you know, do well in regular season conference and give ourselves the best opportunity for a postseason appearance in the NCAA again. And like I said before, continue to try to advance.
Go right here.
Jared Amato, Vanderbilt Hustler. Dan, you guys trailing by 8 at halftime, trailing by 8 midway through the second half. Hopefully there's a timeout and Coach slammed his clipboard a couple times. What was the message being sent to you guys at that point in the game?
I don't do that.
Coach very calmly put the clipboard on the floor and told me that I had messed up on defense, which is true. I made a bad play and ended up leading them right into a dunk. And some of those things, some of those mental errors on defense were what causing us to stay in that hole of 7 or 8, 9 points. You know, you credit our guys for finally down the stretch, finding our rhythm and really, really locking down. And that's kind of been the story all season. When we do lock down, we're as good as anybody and we're really tough to beat. You know, for a good portion of this game, that might not have been the case, but, you know, in the last, I don't even know how many minutes of basketball we played today, but, you know, the last whatever minutes of it, you know, 15, 20 minutes, we you know, locked down and played a lot better. Another reason we won was because Derek and Shane, obviously, they've been struggling a little bit in the first half to find the rhythm, second half come out, and then, you know, they became the people that they are for us, and we can't credit these two guys enough for helping us win this game.
Question from the back.
Bob Moff at KFBK Radio. Derek, talk to us about the block at the end of regulation and then the block at the end of the first overtime.
I had two blocks.
No, well, you got blocked once and you blocked
the the block on me, okay. if I'm correct, I think my stats show that I have like 4 or 5 blocks on the season. I mean, not a better time to pick my 5th or 6th, whatever it is. So, you know, they got the steal. Dan Cage did a great job of running back and not fouling the guy, getting in front of him and not giving him an easy lane to the rim. And I just didn't want him to get it. I didn't want him to get it up on the rim. And, you know, went up there and blocked it with my left hand and gave us more time to play. As far as the block on me, Weaver fell and Dan had enough savvy to hit me down low. I thought I had, you know, an advantage over Ivory Clark, but I think Weaver got up in time to block it or whoever it was. So, you know, it was unfortunate, but, hey, we made some winning plays down the stretch.
Front and center.
This is for Dan and Shane. Just kind of talk about Derek coming up big during that stretch in the second half, kind of took the team on his back. Anybody who really didn't know who Derek was, I think, really got a good glimpse of it today. Do you kind of agree with that?
Well, you know, this is something we've been saying all year, and that is Derek is one of the best players in the country. He does it inside, outside, offensively, defensively, and gosh, you know, this whole game happened so fast and things are a blur right now, but, you know, I'm just getting little images in the back of my brain of all these winning plays Derek made, and that's what we call them, winning plays. Those are the most important things in the game of basketball, is making winning plays, whether it's a steal or just getting to the helpline or whatever it is. It might be something small, might be something big, and I mean, Derek Byers, best player on our team, played the best on our team today, and, you know, we get to play another day. So,
go here to the players left.
Yeah, Derek, late in the game, they switched Weaver over to you, and he's known as their best defensive player, but it looked like he was tired or just too light to stick with you or whatever. I mean, did you sense that you had an advantage at that point, and how did you see that matchup at that point?
Weaver's an incredible defender, as I said before. I think they had Calgill on me before. He's 6'10". His length, you know, it can bother me, but in the first half, I tend to think that I was rushing a little more, trying to go a little one-on-one and taking, you know, trying to squeeze off the first good look instead of trying to get the look that we really wanted. Second half, you know, I can't describe what it was. I just didn't want to lose. So, I just tried to make the best decision possible. I think they switched Weaver onto me. Like I said before, a lot of credit goes out to Ted Scooches and Ross Nelner for making good screens on several plays that we ran and freed me up to, like I said, make a play for myself and my teammates.
Center out right in the middle.
Derek, you were also playing with 4 fouls for late, I guess, in the second half and obviously in both the overtimes, and you were matched up, I think, on low quite a bit throughout that. How did that affect the way you played defense?
Well, you have to not be as aggressive as you know were before, but you know, it's not about me, it's about my team, and whatever I had to do, I wanted to go out there and just try to guard a great player, Derek Lowe, try to stay with him on the screens and You know, my teammates did a great job of being in the gaps and helping with that. And, you know, I just had to be smart about it when I had my 4 fouls.
Time for one more question.
Jonathan Oakens, Contra Costa Times. Derek, can you just talk about your emotions after the game, after playing in a game like that? I saw you yelling to the crowd, we're not going home. And also, can you remember ever being in a game quite like that?
I didn't hear the last part of what you said, but as far as my emotions, I mean, I can't describe it. It was probably the best game I've ever played in. I can't express, you know, how many times, you know, this guy here or this guy here made winning plays for us, myself, Alex Gordon, everybody, and that's what's great. It's so great about it. It was just a collective effort. Guys just dug down deep when we were trailing for most of the game, and we got it back to where we wanted it. So, I mean, I couldn't be more happy right now, and now we have to, you know, shift our focus toward Georgetown.
We thank the student athletes. Vanderbilt's locker room is open, as is Washington State's. We'll open the floor for questions for Coach Stallings. Let's start right in the middle, please.
Coach, it wasn't even the first 5 minutes of the second half, I guess, and I know a lot of folks point to that as being pivotal, but it was after that before you guys really got cranking, I guess, offensively. What did you feel like happened maybe around the 12-minute mark and from there on?
The guy that was sitting 2 seats over from me, he got untracked and started making shots. And when he got that look, which we've seen on occasion this year, all of a sudden the momentum and the energy picked up in our team, because it was like, uh-oh, DB's getting on a roll here, so this thing could get a lot of fun. And I thought for us it was our defensive play in the second half and in the overtimes that was the difference. I thought that in the first half they did a much better job of defending us than we did of defending them. And then I thought in the second half we defended them better than they defended us. And, you know, to look down when they're averaging, you know, 10 or less turnovers a game for the season and we forced them into 19, that's very significant for us. Now, we had 17 ourselves. It wasn't like they weren't turning us over, too. But I thought our defense started it, and then I thought when Derek got on that roll in the second half, everybody kind of jumped on like we've done so many times this season. And then Shane started making plays, and other guys started making them. And I thought that's when we really generated our push.
Kevin, considering where you guys came from this year, can you just talk about the significance of making it this far at this point?
Well, you asked the players if back in November, you know, Brett, when we were 1-3, nobody thought that we could be sitting here. And you know, we're not stupid. We were trying to survive at that point. We were just trying to hang on to each other and just get it back and build it a little bit of a time at a time. But we didn't focus on whether we could be in the Sweet 16 in November. We focused on being better on November the 20th than we were on November the 19th, and that's all we kept talking about. Well, let's get better today than we were yesterday. And I think because of our mindset to do that and our commitment to doing that, this became possible. This wasn't possible on whatever it was, November the 20th. But we just had to break it down into small parts, and that's what we did. And again, I've said it a number of times before, but it was the players never losing faith in themselves, never losing faith in each other, never losing faith in our coaching staff. That's why we're sitting here.
Coach, Vane's been able to win close games all season long, and I think everyone's been attributing that to team chemistry. And when games seem to be closer than ever in the NCAA tournament, chemistry is more important. So could you talk about the importance of, I guess, camaraderie out there?
Well, I think we do have outstanding chemistry, and I think that we have great leadership. So I think that when your team believes in each other and they believe in the bond of trust that exists, then they can know what to expect. Our guys know what to expect from each other at the end of the game, and it's that trust and that commitment to one another that enables us to be successful.
Yeah, Kevin, there was some talk on your team about how Derek has been sort of underappreciated or maybe a little under the radar this year. Could you just talk about a little bit about how good he's been all year, how good a player he is?
Yeah, I think that that's, you know I don't know what Dan expects. Derek's the SEC Player of the Year. You know, I don't know if he wanted Sports Illustrated to devote an entire edition to Derek or something, but, you know, it's not like Derek has been ignored. The coaches voted him SEC Player of the Year, and so he's been acknowledged, and rightfully so. But our team became a really good team early in the conference season when Derek started playing like Derek played today. And he's just been there for us when we've needed him. And when we've been successful, these are the kind of games that he's played.
Coach, you talked about it all season, the play of your three seniors, and that's the reason for the success. A lot of talk about Derek, but specifically with Dan playing 49 minutes today, and Ted playing a lot of minutes as well.
Well, both Ted and Dan were outstanding as well, and Dan Cage was less than 100%. He landed on his hip in the George Washington game, but he's a great competitor. Dan Cage is a great, great competitor, and he's a great kid. Ted Skuchas has been around for a long time. He's been in our program. He knows what to expect. And, you know, just little things like at the end of the game, they went to a more offensive lineup. They put Harmeling in, and that made them bigger. So we were forced to put Alex Gordon on Weaver. And then they posted Weaver, and every time Weaver would go to do something, Ted was there waiting on him. And Ted's savvy and his experience just was so big for us today. So you're right, Derek's gotten a lot of the acclaim, but Ted and Dan have been right in there with him, and Derek would be the first one to tell you that.
Time for two more. We'll go here to your right, Coach. Who has a question?
I'm Wes Nakama from the Honolulu Advertiser. You mentioned Derek Lowe earlier. He seemed to be the one guy who was hitting big shots for Wazoo down the stretch. Are you glad the ball wasn't in his hands on that last possession?
Well, we anticipated actually that it was going to be in Rochester's hands because that's been their tendency in late game situations. So we actually changed and put Derek Byers onto Rochester, and Derek had been guarding Lowe for a lot of the second half. Derek Lowe is an amazing player, and for those that don't watch game films and study it like we do, you might not appreciate it as much, but that kid cuts the entire game, and he plays great defense, and he cuts, and he cuts, and he cuts, and then all of a sudden he gets free and he makes a shot. And he must be playing without lungs because he never gets tired, he never stops cutting, and he is an amazing player to me, and if we hadn't been playing against him, man, I'd have really enjoyed watching him play today, but it got old after a while. He kept making all those shots, and I got kind of tired of it, but we did slow him down a little bit in the second half, I thought, but still, he made big play after big play for them.
Time for one more. We'll go in the center.
We talked to Shane and to Derek about playing down the stretch with four fouls. Were you concerned about having those two guys and Skuchas as well?
Well, on the floor? Yeah, we had three guys out there with four fouls, and I told Ted just to play normal. And Ted's been around long enough that he knows that he didn't take any offense to it. I told Derek and Shane, you guys got to be a little careful. All right, we don't, you know, if Ted fouls out, I can get Ross off the bench and bring him in. If Derek or Shane foul out, it's a little bit of a different story for us. But all three of them did a great job of playing with awareness and intelligence and finishing the game and staying on the floor. And that was a big key for us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach.